Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Wednesday, September 11th. I'm Peter Biello. On today's episode, the mother of the alleged Appalachee High School shooter speaks out. Georgia voters react to last night's presidential debate, and the Fearless Fund agrees to close down a grant program for black women entrepreneurs. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. The mother of the alleged gunman in the Appalachee High School shooting is apologizing to victims' families. GPB's Chase McGee reports her comments come a week after her son, Colt Gray, allegedly killed 4 and wounded 9 at the school in Winder.
In a letter first obtained by CNN, Marcy Gray apologizes to the parents of 2 students who were killed in the shooting, saying, quote, "If I could take the place of Mason and Christian, I would, without a second thought." She maintains her son, Colt, is, quote, "not a monster," adding that she was heartbroken by the loss of 2 teachers who died trying to protect the students. Marcy Gray called the school 30 minutes before the shooting began in what she says was an attempt to warn them. Colt Gray and his father, Colin, who allegedly gave the assault-style weapon to his son, remain in jail following the shootings. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
Firearms are the leading cause of death for children in the United States. But a new study of gun-owning parents finds that many believe teaching children proper gun handling and safety is more important than providing safe gun storage. GPB's Ellen Eldridge reports.
The research also found that parents who do not secure weapons were more likely to have at least one loaded gun in the home. Jennifer Power-Oak is with the Gun Violence Research Center at Rutgers University. She wrote the study. She says, the risk to children of an unsecured firearm outweighs the need for protection.
The risk of firearm injury and death might be actually higher inside the home, and that storing firearms unsecured, so keeping them unlocked, keeping them loaded, like ready to go, increases the likelihood that your child is going to die by firearm injury.
She says future studies should investigate the effects of parental engagement in situations where children were injured or killed by firearms. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Georgia voters from both sides of the aisle flocked to debate watch parties to support their candidate last night. GPB's Sarah Callis has more.
Former President Donald Trump's supporters gathered at Adventure Outdoors in Cobb County, a store that bills itself as the world's largest gun store. There, lively supporters filled the room, cheered for the former president, and booed Vice President Kamala Harris. Larry Charles is from Stone Mountain and attended the watch party.
I think that it's a slam dunk for the president, for Donald Trump.
Down the road, enthusiastic Cobb County Democrats gathered for their own watch party in a music bar. Tim Gambone called Harris, quote, the adult in the room.
And I think barring anything outrageous happening in the next month and a half, she's got this wrapped up.
The vice presidential candidates will face off in a debate October 1st. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Cobb County.
The Tabernacle Choir and Orchestra performed at the state capitol this morning as Georgians remember the nearly 3,000 people who lost their lives in the attacks of September 11, 2001. The Capitol Memorial was led by Governor Brian Kemp, with many state and local officials gathered under the Gold Dome. Before Kemp's speech, Chaplain Jeffrey M. Heron, captain of the Georgia National Guard, led the ceremony in prayer.
Father, we thank you for the peace and comfort that you have provided since that day, 9/11/2001. And we thank you for loving us and giving us grace. Father, we thank you for the courage displayed by those who, instead of thinking of their own safety, they rushed in to help others.
Kemp reminded his audience of the sacrifices of first responders and what he called the patriotism, strength, and courage that came from that day.
It is up to each of us to remember the spirit of unity that held us together in those dark days. We must remember that no matter how much we disagree, there is more that unites Americans than divides us. It is up to each of us not to lose sight of those lessons.
Chaplain Dory L. Griggs of the Roswell Fire Department had this recollection of that fateful day.
I lost a dear childhood friend in the second tower 23 years ago today. He was on the 104th floor. Over the years, in studying traumatic stress, I've had the opportunity to meet people who served on the ground in New York, in Pennsylvania, and in the Pentagon. One of them, David Hanchu, was at the base of the second tower right before it went down. His legs were crushed when the building fell.
Other events were being held across the state today, many of those involving acts of community service. Hurricane Francine is expected to make landfall this evening on the Louisiana coast, and although it's several states away, forecasters say its effects will still be felt in Georgia. Showers, possible thunderstorms, and gusty winds are predicted across much of the state tomorrow and into Friday. The strongest storms and a tornado threat are expected in western Georgia counties. Rain chances will continue over the weekend, with drier conditions returning by midweek next week. The Atlanta-based venture capital fund that's become a symbol of legal efforts to dismantle workplace diversity programs has agreed to end its small business grant program for black women business owners. The Fearless Fund was sued in federal court by the American Alliance for Equal Rights, a group led by the conservative activist behind the Supreme Court case that ended affirmative action in college admissions. The group said today that it's reached a settlement with the fund over the program, which a federal appeals court panel had suspended late last year. The group called the program divisive and illegal. Fund supporters had called it a modest but important step toward creating equal opportunity. More than 300 agriculture-related groups nationwide, including Georgia's Cotton and Peanut Commissions, are urging members of Congress to pass a farm bill before the end of the year. The National Cotton Council led the call for action, a letter sent to Republican and Democratic leaders in the U.S. House and Senate yesterday. The farm bill supports many programs affecting farmers and nutrition assistance, but has been stalled for a year, with only a few working days left in the current Congress. In sports, in baseball, Michael Harris II hit two of Atlanta's four home runs, and the Braves had 15 hits in a 12-0 rout of the Washington Nationals last night. And that is despite losing starter Ronaldo Lopez to a shoulder injury after one inning. Lopez left with right shoulder tightness after throwing 25 pitches. Lopez was scheduled for an MRI today. With the win, the Braves pulled even with the New York Mets for the final National League wild card. And in basketball, the Minnesota Lynx beat the Atlanta Dream 76-64 last night. Alicia Gray scored 17 points, going 8 of 8 at the free throw line, and Ryan Howard added 14 points for Atlanta. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, check out our website, gpb.org/news. And remember to subscribe to this podcast. We're coming back in your feed tomorrow with all the latest stories from Georgia. And if you've got feedback or a story idea, let us know by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.